Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter Nick Keyser, hanging out on this Monday. NFL owners meetings going on right now, and I know that Rand Carthon has talked. Mike Vrabel is speaking right now, talking about some different things going on, trying to look through Twitter. You know, I know obviously one of the big things right now that has come up with him is Kevin Byard and what might happen with that situation. We'll have that sound for you here in a few minutes and what he had to say about that.
Yeah, and Jim Wyatt put out a piece. Rand Carthon had some comments on Kevin Byard earlier this morning. I mean, he said that Kevin Byard did not ask the Tennessee Titans to be released, and word for word, he said that is a blatant lie.
Okay.
So, but, well, I mean, did he say that he didn't deny that they asked him for a pay cut? So,
yeah.
I still think that definitely happened, but Kevin Byard did not ask them for a release, according to Rand Carthon.
This was Mike Vrabel, and who did we get this from, so I can give proper credit?
Jim Wyatt.
This is from Jim Wyatt just a few minutes ago, Mike Vrabel talking about Kevin Byard.
Under contract, Kevin's a valuable, valuable member of our football team. I've said that, his durability and his leadership, you know, and so we'll see where things go. But as of now, there's nothing to report. Communication has been really good. I've tried to make a great connection with him as a player and a captain on our team for 5 years. But those are conversations that happen between Kevin and his agent and Rand and myself, and try to find ways to continually improve our football team.
Okay, so I you know, that's what I pretty much expected Mike Vrabel to say on that. There's something that he goes to a lot, and a lot of football people do this, that I don't like, especially when it comes to a player like Kevin Byard. He's under contract.
He's under contract.
Like, we get that. We get that. That doesn't mean anything. Mm-mm. But you can say that like that, and that's a it's a tough situation for Mike to be in, and I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying I hate that phrase because it doesn't give me the, you know, warm and fuzzies of like, oh yeah, no, that's our guy. Like, he could have said everything he just said without saying he's under contract. He could have been like, look, Kevin is a very, very important piece to what we do. He has given his heart and soul to this team. He's somebody that we love having in that locker room. He's a hell of a player on the field. You know, you can say all those things and be like, look, it's a tough situation that we're in right now, but we're going to keep that in-house. We're going to keep that between Rand and his agent and me and Kevin, and you know, we hope to get a resolution. But you don't have to be like, no, he's under contract. Well, we get that. We know he's under contract.
Yeah, and he said that, too, at the end of the year
when
asked about Ryan Tannehill. He's under contract. And I think that's a way that if you're a coach or GM, you say that. Because it gives you an out. It gives you an out just to be like, well, he's under contract, and then you don't necessarily have to comment on, you know, the conversations you're having or what it would be like if you traded him or you cut him or X, Y, and Z, whatever you could do with them. So it's like, he's under contract, but, you know, he's a big part of our team, and then goes on to speak positively about him. So, I mean, I'm sure somebody asked him there, did you ask him for a pay cut, or you would hope? And I'm sure that was a similar answer.
Well, yeah. And
conversations are between us and Rand and his parties. And
look, and I have no doubt that they did ask him for a pay cut. And I know there were conflicting reports on whether he asked for a release or not. That is one of those that whether he did or he didn't, that I still think that where there's smoke, there's fire. And You can take a phrase like, if he were quoted or heard saying, like, hey, if we can't work this out, then maybe that, you know, just release me. Mm-hmm. That's not asking for a release, but I can see how it could be taken that way. We don't know. We don't know the conversations that took place, but I do believe that that he probably was asked to take a pay cut. I disagree with it. I understand why they're doing it. To an extent, but you know, that's a guy that it's like he's restructured his contract once now, like, you know,
the reason his contract is the way it is
yeah.
is because you had to keep pushing him back when you were in your Super Bowl window and you wanted to go get Bud Dupree and Julio Jones and beef up your roster. And it's just they're in a very interesting period right now, Chase, because we're hearing the shopping Derrick Henry and the asking Kevin Byard for a pay cut. And Teron Davenport just came out on Twitter and had a, you know, back and forth. And it was, if things go according to plan, do you expect Ryan Tannehill to be your starter? That was the question. Mike Vrabel said, can't really commit to anybody being on our roster in September, but of course we want Ryan as our quarterback. We want all of the guys to help us win. So that was Teron Davenport tweeting out.
What in the heck is going on?
A back and forth between him and Mike Vrabel. Junie and I had this discussion too. And, you know, at the point right now, I would not be surprised if there were some bigger moves to come on whether they are moving off veterans or, you know, deciding to this year start to fill some of the position groups that they need depth at with younger options. I mean, that's what we've seen them do within free agency so far. Andre Dillard is a, in quotes, 3-year contract, but they're really only committed to him for 1 year. They're making these short-term moves that aren't going to cost them a lot of money. I would assume they're going to address most positions in the draft, but just very, very interesting, Chase. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Where this team is right now.
It also, and I know Rand Carthon in his interview with Jim Wyatt, you know, kind of said this too, but looks like Andre Dillard, they feel starting him at left tackle, that's the plan moving forward. Now, obviously, that can change. You never know. But, I mean, so they have an address receiver in free agency, and, you know, even the bargain bin guys are starting to get signed. So it keeps telling me more and more that are they going at 11? Are they taking a receiver at 11? Is that what they're going to do?
And if I'm Tim Kelly and Ryan Tannehill, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to help us have a good offense, but can we look at the weapons that I have right now? You also have one starting tight end that also was a rookie last year who you assume can take that next step, just like you assume Treylon Burks can take that next step. But, you know, as far as offensive weapons outside of Derrick Henry, it's pretty slim at those positions, Chase. So, I mean, if I'm Ryan Tannehill and I am the starting quarterback and I'm Tim Kelly and I'm the new offensive coordinator, it's like, yeah, I want to do my job well, but not sure how well I'm going to be able to.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to get some more weapons. But that leads me into where I want to go next. And that is, right now, I think if we had to sit here and somebody looks at me and goes, Chase, can you tell me, give me your prediction on the Tennessee Titans for this year? My answer is going to be, I have no idea. And I kind of think that's just where we're at right now. This team is incomplete, or they could just, like, be not good and be rebuilding, like Paul Kuharsky and others have said that they are. Where do you think they are at this point in time? 615-737-1025. We'll discuss that coming up next. Jonathan Hutton at the bottom of the hour. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Of course. I mean, of course we do. And that's where we're in March. We're continuing to build a football team, the best football team we can. And Ryan's healthy. He's getting healthy. I would say that putting the work in, it's been good to see him around the building. So yeah, you know, we always expect that. But to make predictions, I think I've been through this last year. I'm not going to commit to anybody being on roster on September. You know what I mean? I've seen it change too quickly. And of course that, you know, we want Ryan as our quarterback and everybody else that's helped us win. That's what we want.
That's Mike Vrabel at the annual owners' meetings, the coaches' breakfast, just a few minutes ago, talking about Ryan Tannehill. Back here, Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton coming up in just a few minutes from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. He'll explain that a little bit. New branding, for sure. But got a hat tip to Music City Bets for tweeting this out. DraftKings opened the Titans regular season win total at 7.5, the lowest number in over 5 years for the Titans. So they're projecting 7.5 wins. It's around that time. Mm-hmm. I was hoping they would come out at Superbook while I was there, but they didn't. So interesting thing to look at right now. But what exactly are they doing? I believe that what's going to happen is this is going to be just them, putting something together for this year, and they're probably not going to be very good in a bad division. That's kind of what I think. Some might think that they're gearing up to move up in the draft, to go get a quarterback, that they're going to make a big move, that they're going to get Lamar Jackson, all that stuff. I would believe that if they had a wide receiver room, they had a tight end room, the offensive line has been addressed, but it's not fixed. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't all this talk of cutting guys that make too much money.
The way I look at this now, Chase, and Junie and I had this discussion the last couple of days when you were out, is I would not be surprised if the Tennessee Titans drafted a quarterback in this year's draft, whether it be a guy, if Anthony Richardson falls, a Will Levis, a Hendon Hooker, and they pulled the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes way and having him sit for a year and just using this team to go out there and trying to fill some more positions. So whatever you get filled in, the rest of free agency this year and this year's draft, you draft a quarterback, he sits for a year, he plays behind Ryan Tannehill, you're able to move off Ryan Tannehill next year based off of his contract, and then you don't have to draft a quarterback in next year's draft, but you probably have a decently high draft pick because your team won't be that good. And you can start to address some of the other positions, and then you hopefully have your rookie guy start in maybe 2024, fall of 2024. And, we've talked about this. I would say he's probably the most polarizing quarterback in this draft, Will Levis. But Mike Vrabel, they were at his pro day last week. And the only reason I view him being at a Kentucky pro day different from an Ohio State pro day is you've got guys galore who are at Ohio State pro day who are going to be playing at the next level, right? Whether you want to look at wide receivers, whether you want to look at linemen, linebackers, everything under the sun. Ohio State produces pro guys every single year, multiple pro guys. Whereas, there were 11 guys at Kentucky's pro day. Will Levis being, of course, the main guy. So
I'm starting to drink the Kool-Aid on him.
I truly do think that, he started to drop in mock drafts because of the Anthony Richardson hype after the pro day. And I would not be surprised if they got a guy like him or they tried to get a guy like Hendon Hooker. I think that would be a little bit different just because he is coming off the ACL injury and Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have already dealt with. Well, Carthon said he doesn't want to just get guys who are injured, and we already know the injury bug here. I don't know how well that would go, but I don't actually think it's as far-fetched as I thought it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't either. I think I am starting to drink the Kool-Aid on him. And think that, maybe he's going to be pretty good, for sure. So we will see.
Well, I've watched probably every game that he's played in for the University of Kentucky, and the difference between his junior year and this year. And I know everybody's going to say, well, we want a quarterback who doesn't have excuses. And okay, well, everybody's going to have some sort of excuses. We had one of my friends who covers the team. He didn't trust his offensive coordinator this year. He didn't trust his offensive line this year. And he didn't have any weapons to throw to other than two freshman wide receivers who are good. And they're going to be good in the SEC next year. But two freshman wide receivers. He had turf toe all year. And then towards the end of the year had almost a separated shoulder. So,
right.
when you put all of that, I get it if there's some excuses. But to have so much go wrong from your junior year to your senior year, it's not surprising he had the drop-off he did. I get it. He made some bad decisions. But the guy was a nervous wreck out there because he had probably one of the worst offensive lines in the SEC, and I can say that pretty confidently. No pro wide receivers whatsoever, and an offensive coordinator who was transitioning from the NFL to college and wasn't good.
Yeah, that didn't work out. That didn't work out at all.
So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I get it. Some people believe, oh, God, he's the flashy guy who has all the intangibles, but he can't actually play well. Well, that's not true. He's had some very bad games, and in recency bias, this last year was a bad year for him.
Sean in Murfreesboro says, is Stetson Bennett a viable option for the Titans? I just haven't seen anything that tells me he's a true NFL starting quarterback prospect.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, also his age, too. You'll throw that in there. He's 25, probably going to be 26. He's my age.
I mean, Hendon Hooker is that, too, but Hendon Hooker is still viewed as somebody that could potentially start in this league.
Yeah, and even coming off an ACL injury, I think Stetson could be a backup somewhere. I understand that, you know, he's won a national championship, but college success does not equal NFL success. We've seen that too many times. Stetson Bennett's also pretty small. He's a small guy out there. When you talk about intangibles like arm strength and things like that, I don't think he has it. I mean, I'm not paid to evaluate quarterbacks, but he's not talked about in the same conversation whatsoever as any of these guys. So he had everything right around him, too, at Georgia. I'm not saying he can't be maybe a successful backup someday.
Yeah.
But he'll go to camp somewhere, I believe, and he'll try to make a roster.
I think he'll get drafted. I just don't think he's a starting quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe he can be someday. I don't know. But as far as, you know, having those measurables, size, arm strength, things like that, where NFL teams look at you and think, okay, we can work with this. We like your size. We like your arm strength. We like the way you throw the ball, your release, all things like that. That I guess there's the secret sauce into creating a quarterback, and then it's down to, okay, can we develop this guy, and can we, you know, help him mentally understand NFL defenses and offenses, and, you know, put all of that together to get our guy.
Right. Yeah. I think what's the most intriguing thing about this quarterback class is we kind of view it as we don't know what it is. Like, is it going to be really good? Is it going to be okay? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be a mix?
Yeah.
We just don't know.
We don't, because we don't have a clear number one, right?
Right.
I think Joe Burrow's class, clear number one.
Yeah.
Like, he was the guy. He's going to translate. He'll be the guy. And things can change. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, there's flaws on all of them. I mean, Bryce Young, he could be a Patrick Mahomes someday, maybe, but he's small, and I don't know how his size is going to be in the NFL. Or C.J. Stroud, he's got the size, he's got everything, but he couldn't really get it done against Michigan, and that was really their only tough regular season game. I know that they almost beat Georgia, but he had wide receivers who were open and NFL wide receivers, and right, you add all of those, and then Anthony Richardson, he's the athletic freak who had the best scores at the pro day of all of those intangibles, but was he actually good at Florida? Should he have stayed at Florida another year? And then Will Levis is kind of in the same boat as Anthony Richardson. And I would say some people think he's going to be the next Josh Allen, and some people think he could be a Carson Wentz. So it's hard because you look at these guys and you think, okay, they potentially could be our quarterback for the next 10 years, or we could have a Carson Wentz situation. But that's the risk you take when you are a general manager or head coach. If you believe it's your guy, you do anything to go get him.
I mean, for what we do, I think it's obviously good. We have no idea, you know, where this is going to go. We have no idea what the Titans are going to do, what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. With the win total being at 7.5, I mean, that's I'd say right now that's pretty accurate. And right now today I might lean under. But that's March 27th. That's before the draft. There's still, you know, some free agents out there. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. They could trade for Lamar. Who knows? I mean, there is a lot of stuff that could go down between now and then. But, I think it's exciting. I think it's keeps my head spinning with what they might do and what might end up happening. between now and the draft. But we'll get into all that with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Jonathan Hutton with Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. We'll explain what that means coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with you. Let's continue the Titans talk with Jonathan Hutton. He's presented by Blindbar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blindbar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blindbar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined. Jonathan Hutton of Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. A new name, same show. But Hut, a little bit of a name change starting today.
Yeah, a bit of a rebrand. Thank you, guys. Michelle, hope you're doing well. Enjoyed the conversation on Will Levis there. Yeah, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Look, Outkick 360. It's not hard to figure out what we did with 360 with the spinoff of 180. And now with a chance to further the branding locally, regionally, and nationally. Went up to New York last week. Fox is doing a lot for the promotional and marketing aspects of what me and Chad are working on, as well as Clay. And we're going to provide fans with just smart sports talk. That's what our task is each and every day, no different than you guys. And we should also be getting some great interviews with guests, great topics. And here's the kicker. I mean, there's nothing's changing as far as what Chad and I are about. We whenever we signed up with Clay, it was about original, authentic, smart, funny, and real commentary. We're not going to read from a script. I don't have a boss telling me what I can and cannot say, or a topic that we can or can't do or dive into. And that's what's exciting about it. And this is a part of with Hot Mic. This is a part of a full network that Outkick is building out, where the vision is to be live 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. on a daily basis before we turn the corner for 2024.
Very, very cool. So we will look forward to that. And again, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow will air weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan or sister station. So excited about that. But yeah, so you heard our conversation, Jonathan, about Will Levis. And yes. I said, I'm starting to drink the Kool-Aid on him a little bit. I mean, and I thought, look, yeah, I thought he was good at Kentucky. You know, Michelle pointed out the injury and the offense and all of those things in his last year. But it seems like that hasn't turned teams away. The Titans, the odds on him are 50-1 for the Titans to take him. Whether that means he drops to 11 or that means they got to move up to go get him. I think they would have to move up to go get him. But what would you think about that if they were to, in fact, make that move?
I'm not making a move to go get him. That's I was going to ask, where are we drafting him here? If he's at 11, mm-hmm. Look, I'm fine with it. I don't hate Will Levis. I just don't understand why Mel Kiper wants to marry the guy. He is so in on Will Levis as the top quarterback. And he was in November, and he continues to mention point differential doesn't matter and interceptions. Seven of those were tip ball. I mean, we can say that about any quarterback. And with Kiper overanalyzing this guy, he's not the top quarterback in this draft as we sit here currently. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go full ceiling, highest ceiling is Anthony Richardson. It's not Levis. So, and that's just based on traits and size and skill and everything. But he also has the lowest floor. Let me throw that in there too. Guys, I think the Titans are the most unpredictable team right now in the draft.
Big yes. time.
You mentioned and I think it's been that way for a couple of weeks, actually, because they're sitting back waiting to see what happens with some other teams, see what they did in free agency. What do they have in the draft? And then whenever they get past June 1st, they can still make moves to their roster to save salary cap space based on how they feel about the rookie class coming in and building off of what was a solid draft last year. A quarterback is definitely in play for me when it comes to what they could do. The 50-1 odds made me think this, but I mean, I would certainly take that on a quarterback being the pick. And that's just based on just it's worth throwing $5 on if you're, you know, with Superbook.
Well,
but you get where I'm going here. I'm not saying they're taking a quarterback. I'm not saying that it can't be, because they have so many needs, and in a build for the future, what makes sense? Well, if they really want to make a big move, if they want to sign Jeffrey Simmons, and if there's someone else out there they want to bring in, you get the most bang for your buck on the cap with Tannehill. But also, and I've mentioned this with you guys, you can also draft a quarterback, much like we've seen in comparison to Kansas City of 2016, 2017, when they won 12 games. They were a good regular season team. They had Alex Smith, who was a good regular season quarterback. And then they draft Patrick Mahomes at pick 12. The Titans are at 11. They can still have Tannehill on this roster. They don't have to have a guy start immediately as a rookie, and they still can have a guy for the future if they're just looking over the horizon past 2023, and if they truly buy into the fact that he's the guy. That also factors into all this.
Well, I got to credit Music City Bets, because they're always keeping me on my toes. He's now 6-1 to be drafted by the Titans. That's how much it's changed.
That was like 5 minutes ago.
I know. That's how much it's changed.
Some of it too, it can be based on, the draft is so unpredictable with this, because to draft Will Levis, to ensure that you've got him at 6-1, and Music City Bets, maybe they can text us in real time and tell us who's ahead of the Titans on that. Because at pick 3, Arizona's in the catbird seat. I don't think Levis is going 1 or 2. And if he goes anywhere in that area, he's going to Carolina, not Houston, based on what McClain has told me. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Titans can do that. But I also don't think that Will Levis has to be the end-all, be-all quarterback the Titans are in love with. I think you can get a guy like Hendon Hooker. It's a very good spot for Hooker to land coming off the ACL. But you have to also buy into the fact that he's your quarterback of the future, and he's not just a backup like Stetson Bennett would be.
And I'm on the same page as you. I wouldn't go get him, but if he's available at 11 and you believe that he's your guy, you could get him there just based off of him dropping in the draft. But speaking about another quarterback, this morning on Twitter, and ironically at the exact same time that Harbaugh was speaking at the owners' meeting, the timing on that was impeccable. Lamar Jackson tweeted out that he requested a trade from the Ravens back on March 2nd, about a month ago. And, you know, nothing has been done. He basically just wanted to come out and say his side of things. But I ask you the question of, do you think a team will give 2 first-round picks to Lamar just after it's been over a year and a half now of this back and forth? He doesn't have an agent. You know, he was an MVP 1 year, 1-3 in the playoffs. He's been injured. I mean, do you think that he could end up just being with the Ravens next year?
I think he can be with the Ravens next year. I think what he has seen is a great business move by the Baltimore Ravens, and this is his reaction to it based on the non-exclusive franchise tag. And the idea that, I mean, if he gets the exclusive tag, Michelle, he'd make $45
million. Yeah, I'd take that.
Yeah, well, so what he's looking at is they can tag him, and then the tag goes up next year if they want to do that again. So he's getting 2 years, roughly $90 million plus. That's how he was looking at it. But what the Ravens have done is, okay, here's your offer last August. Reportedly, it was $133 million guaranteed on a $250 million contract offer. 68% of that full offer was guaranteed. And it came out to roughly $50 million a year. But again, they can cut him without certain losses deeper into the contract. So at worst, the Ravens know that they're going to get him under the non-exclusive tag, which is far more affordable by like $12 million than the exclusive tag. And at worst, from Baltimore's end of it too, they end up having to match an offer that's probably around $45 to $50 million a year on average. They've already offered him that. And so I think they've done a great job with this while also making fans believe that they're all in on this massive contract that he's going to get. Lamar, this is where he needs an agent. And I say that absolutely knowing he has someone behind the scenes working this for him. It's not, he's not supposed to, but he does. I mean, Laramie Tunsil does too. But this is the it is, I don't think it's a coincidence that he announces this on social. And he's talking about how he appreciates all the fans, right? As John Harbaugh is taking the podium at the NFL owners meetings, Michelle, but also the time to demand a trade is at the combine. Mm-hmm. When everyone's talking, right? And everyone can be talking at the owners meetings, but at the combine, you're still kind of right there on the decision-making process of what you're going to do in free agency, who you're going to acquire, how much are you willing to pay. And right now, teams have spent the front load of what they were going to spend in free agency, and they've determined what they want to do in the draft, at least on a wish list standpoint. And teams now are at the point where they can say, you know what, let's just see who we get in the draft, and then let's hit free agency again in a phase two situation. I think if Jackson was going to be traded, it needed to come one of two ways. Either Aaron Rodgers comes out of his darkness retreat, and says, hey, I want to return to Green Bay, or I'm going to retire. And then the Jets make a trade for him, speaking of Lamar. Or they can't come to terms on whatever the future would be for a guaranteed deal that he wants, and he demands this way earlier in the offseason, namely right after they lost in the playoffs to Cincinnati. So I think the leverage point of this still is with Baltimore, and they still believe they can get him back, I'm sure.
Jonathan Hutton on with us. I'm going to have you put on your GM hat really, really quick.
GM Hutton.
Which one would you rather do? Give up two first-round picks for Lamar Jackson or draft Will Levis at 11, if he's available, obviously. So what-if scenario?
Well, based on the salary cap situation, I'm drafting the rookie because I keep in mind, too, like you can draft the rookie and have Tannehill. Mm-hmm. I still want to mention that, even though if you want to just completely rebuild, which they haven't said they're doing, if you want to signal that, you trade Tannehill or you cut him and you still make the cap savings. But based on the current cap and knowing what Lamar is going to cost, I would take the rookie for the here and now. I'm just basing on this roster.
Okay.
If this were a year and a half ago, I'm making the trade because two first round picks for Lamar Jackson compared to what we saw Deshaun Watson pull, what Houston gets, three first rounders plus other picks. Russell Wilson, the Broncos have invested three first round picks and three second round picks in Russell Wilson and Sean Payton combined. The price tag for the former MVP Lamar Jackson is considerably less, except for the fact that he's going to demand a contract that's comparable to one that Deshaun Watson received, not the fully guaranteed. It doesn't look like he's getting that. But he's going to get more than Kyler Murray, who's the second or third highest paid quarterback right now for 2023. And the Titans don't have that money to dish out. And you're also, by the way, if you do that, if you trade for him, you're giving up on Jeffrey Simmons.
Jonathan Hutton joining us, as he does every Monday at 10:30, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Nothing's really changing but the name, but looking forward to it nonetheless. Hut, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
It's not a rebuild over here.
It's just a reset.
It's a nice reset. It's a fresh start with bigger and better promotion aspects behind it. And yes, my GM hat is never great, but sometimes I'm way too frugal for my own good. I love Lamar Jackson, though. I would love to see him play somewhere else and get the type of money that Watson received, because the quarterbacks especially have the leverage. Mm-hmm. And if the players are ever going to have anything close to what Major League Baseball or the NBA receive, he's the guy that needs to set a precedent. Mm.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks as always, Hut. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Hutton.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. I'm going to have to get used to that.
But I know. I like it. Hot Mic.
I like it. Weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll continue this. A lot of quarterback discussion with the Titans, but he hit on something with Will Levis that I definitely think we should take credence with. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser with you. Continuing the discussion on the Titans and the quarterback situation, 615-737-1025. You can weigh in on that on our phone and text line. As we continue that, Jonathan Hutton said something that I think is very, very important to pay attention to, and that is, if you were to draft Will Levis, you can keep you still have Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. You could treat this very similar to what the Chiefs did with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. And I think that that would be huge when it comes to the development of Levis or any quarterback for that matter. Even if you waited until the end of the first round or the second round and you got Hendon Hooker, mm-hmm. the fact that you still have Ryan Tannehill to me is very, very important.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Chase. And when you look at Ryan Tannehill right now, a veteran in this league, you actually have a pretty cheap contract for him just based off how the quarterback market has increased drastically these last 2-3 years. I mean, Deshaun Watson being one of the first to get that huge contract. So you have Ryan Tannehill, who looks cheap comparative to all the other quarterbacks around the league. So you have him. If Will Levis or a quarterback that you like is available at 11, you can draft them there and commit to just working with what you have this season, maybe being a 500 team, you know, being somewhat competitive in your division. Because as of right now, I still look at the Tennessee Titans as the second, right behind Jacksonville, because the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans have a lot of rebuilding to do. I mean, they're drafting quarterbacks, I can pretty much bet on that. So you just don't know what their team is going to look like. You don't know how the rookie quarterback is going to be able to play out there. Or, I mean, could one be in contention to try to go get a Lamar Jackson? I don't know. But I still look at this team where they could be somewhat competitive in the AFC South. And I wouldn't say give up draft capital to move up. But if he's available at 11 and you believe that he could be your guy of the future, and you can get him at 11, draft him, do the Chiefs Patrick Mahomes way, and don't even let him see the field on a Sunday in his first year. I mean, if Malik Willis hadn't taken one snap for the Tennessee Titans, everyone would be oh, is he going to be the franchise right. guy? I mean, you know, the unknown is undefeated. So you keep him. It's different because you'd be spending a first-round pick versus a third-round pick on the guy. But you allow him to develop and study and learn the offense and run the show team and things like that. And you just run it back with Tannehill and Henry. And then you reevaluate next offseason. And can he be your guy? And you start to fill some more of the positions where it's a soft reset rebuild. It's a way you can do it quickly without fully tanking for your fans out there. So, I mean, I don't hate the idea. It's also not my job to, you know, evaluate quarterbacks. So that's why I'm prefacing, because I know everybody on the text line is like, he sucks. But if your scouts, your GM, your head coach believe that he could be your guy or Hendon Hooker could be your guy, I say you draft him and
yeah.
you just kind of do with what you have this year. You have Ryan Tannehill. You're easier to get off him next year. And then it's a soft reset, I guess you could say, because you've addressed some positions this year without giving up an arm and a leg to go get a quarterback. You're still not giving up draft capital. So I think that's the key in all of this, is you don't have to mortgage your future to bet on a guy that you hope is going to be your franchise guy, Chase.
Yeah, I think that you have to – that's what you have to do. I mean, you have to get your guy – and develop them. And that's something that D-Mace has been talking about, that, you know, there hasn't been that he doesn't feel that they've done a good enough job developing quarterbacks. And that's my hope. If they get, whether it's Will Levis or Hendon Hooker or whoever it might be, they have to develop, you know, they have to develop that person. And having Ryan Tannehill there, I think, certainly helps that, because you take a lot of the pressure off of the rookie and you're not throwing the rookie in right away. You've heard me say this before, that you know, you don't want to throw a rookie into if it's okay not to throw a rookie into the fray, is what I'm trying to say.
It's okay if they don't start the minute they are a part of your organization. And watching some guys who haven't started immediately, it's beneficial. I mean, I know to a larger scale, but even just Tom Brady learning behind Bledsoe for so long, but then, you know, being able to go in whenever, you know, he got hurt. Was that his second season?
When what now?
When Bledsoe got hurt, was that Brady's second season?
Yeah, it was his second season, because he sat the first year.
So, right, the ability, and we talk about Patrick Mahomes, and I mean, even Josh Allen didn't look good when we first saw him with the Bills, but the ability to use an entire year to develop and get accumulated with the organization and the offense and learn the do's, the do nots, and just being a rookie as a whole. I was listening to the episode of Derrick Henry on with Bussin' with the Boys, and Derrick Henry went into, and I need to get this sound for this week for us, but basically went into like such detail of how incredibly different college is compared to the NFL and how big that jump is. And a lot of people and us expect, okay, well, you're drafted. In the NBA, you play right away. Like, the jump and the level of play, how big of a difference it is from college and then those who actually go on to play in the NFL is so big. And especially at the quarterback position, the most important position, if you have the opportunity to develop your rookie for a year and not have him worry at all about playing on Sunday or having to go out there and perform, I mean, it can only help a guy. Right. I think. Oh, yeah. I think it can hurt him if you throw him out there, but I think it can only help him if he doesn't play and he just watches and absorbs and he's a sponge before he goes out there.
That is going to do it for us today, though. Coming up next, Caroline Willie and D. Mace, they'll continue the discussion on the Titans, including Mike Vrabel's comments from the owners' meetings, a team that we just can't quite figure out yet, but time will tell. On that is all coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, the game.